Welcome back to Real Science Radio. We're concluding our conversation today with researcher and pastor Kevin Lee, responding to the recent hit piece article against Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. And before we wrap, we'll also take a look at that so-called interstellar asteroid making headlines. Is it evidence of aliens or something far more down to earth? Let's get right back into it. Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
How can this hit piece say hydroplate theory fails when only hydroplate theory can explain contact binary asteroids? Only hydroplate theory can explain why there's millions of rounded off boulders on Comet 67P. Only hydroplate theory can explain all the amino acids, the nucleotides, the extreme TNOs, the extreme distant TNOs like Sedna, which is 83 astronomical units away from the Earth. And even the secular people realize that all 12 of the extreme TNOs have an orbital parameter of the argument of the perihelion that indicate that it had to have gotten a gravity boost from something within the elliptic plane of the solar system. And only hydroplate theory explains that. It got a gravity boost from Neptune. And they can't say Neptune did it, because that would mean that the TNOs came from within inside the solar system, which they did, according to the hydroplate theory. Yep. And so they have to think that there's a planet X out there, and we're going to find it in 3 years. Well, that was about 7 years ago. And they never will find it, because it was Neptune that gave those extreme TNOs their orbit. I mean, there is so much scientific evidence to support that the hydroplate theory explains everything. Jupiter family, the Trojans in front of and behind, everything.
Yeah, the floating rock piles. We didn't mention the floating rock piles. We didn't mention Bennu. Guess what they found on Bennu? Serpentinite. And where do you find serpentinite on Earth?
Off of the mantle in the mid-oceanic ridge. We see it for the mantle.
Yeah.
So here, this hit piece is all about minerals. This is an extremely intelligent person about mineral formation. And they found a mineral from the middle Atlantic Ridge that is found on Bennu.
Now, a fair article might mention that, oh, by the way, there is the evidence of the serpentinite, but we're going to focus on the olivine. But the article doesn't say anything like that. And just, I want to remind the audience that I do have Dr. Baumgartner in writing saying that the predictions, some of which you just mentioned, not all, are, quote, meaningless, quote, worthless. And if our object is to use science to show unbelievers that there's credible scientific evidence for the creation and for the global flood, that all of the evidence in favor of that, none of it is meaningless. None of it is worthless. And Dr. Baumgartner, we welcome any evidence you can offer to the argument, because we want to help unbelievers realize that they've been deceived. We want to point them toward the Creator, and we'll accept any good evidence from you, any good evidence from CRSQ, any evidence from Edward Isaacs. We want all the evidence on the table. Wouldn't you agree with that, Dr. Baumgartner? Oh, I'm sorry. Wouldn't you agree with that, Kevin?
Well, I hope Dr. Baumgartner realizes that that is a good question for him, and he answers it for you someday, because it is. He should accept the evidence. And in fact, he went even further, because Brian Lauer asked him in an email, Dr. Baumgartner, what are the predictions that CPT makes? None. He has none. He admits he has no predictions. What biblical support do you have for CPT? He mentions no biblical support for CPT. I don't have to give that to you. In that same response, he's saying, and I don't care about your predictions. They're meaningless because I know hydroplate theory is a fraud. In other words, think about how unreasonable that is. I don't care about the evidence. Don't bother me with the facts. I have my theory, and it is the one that God ordained, and I'm the ordained spokesman from God for this theory, and don't mess with it. That's his attitude. Well, and here, look at the abstract. Starts out, the abstract of this Isaac / Baumgartner article. The origin of small solar system bodies, SSSBs, such as asteroids, trans-Neptunian objects, comets, and meteorites, remains an elusive question in secular and creation cosmologies. Not true. Even that's a false statement. It's not an elusive question for hydroplate theory. There is not a single bit of evidence that's come from space about any of these objects that is a failure for hydroplate theory, except the one they make up in this article, which is based on fraud, based on false statements, I should say.
Yes, well, I mean, we could give them the benefit of the doubt and just assume that they're just going off pre-2008 information, which, I mean, that's only 15 years ago. How long ago is that?
Well, I want to get to that. So let's say that we were advocating the 2008 position. First of all, we don't know what the Earth is like beneath the surface. One of the things I never liked about CPT and a lot of the geologists and geophysicists, is you make a lot of assumptions that you kind of promote as fact when we really don't know. We can drill, what, 5 or so miles beneath the Earth's surface, and we find what we didn't expect, that the seismic imaging told us would be there, wasn't there.
Yeah.
So we're always making assumptions with what's underneath the globe, and then we sell it as, okay, this is what's happening, this is true. We got to get away from that. We got to make sure people understand what the assumptions are. And this article, of course, was loaded with assumptions and that were sold as facts. You know, I just have a big problem with that. As you guys know, I've been with the whole modeling stuff. And I just hope we can try to get people to think critically when they come across hit pieces like this. And this is what it was. It was a hit piece. I thought, Kevin, that the email that I was on that chain, I didn't think there was anything disingenuous from Tim Clare. I think he really thought he had a feather in his cap. I really think he thought that. I could be wrong, and I could be misinterpreting why that email went out. That was my first impression. Oh, they think they got us. And you know what? If they did get us, great. If there's evidence against it, I want to know about it.
Yeah.
But I just didn't see that. In fact, I saw the opposite. I saw this was probably the worst hit piece of all the ones they put out. And it's like a leaf on a tree. They think they pulled a leaf off and the whole tree's wrong.
Yeah. And let's talk about that, because I told another creation scientist, very well-known, very solid engineering kind of guy, not an HPT advocate, self-admittedly, he says he doesn't know that much about it and he wants to know more. And I told him, look, Jay, I am only wanting the truth. If the evidence came back that hydroplate theory is truly fatally flawed from the evidence that they're finding in space, I would abandon it. I have better things to do as a pastor than to propagate lies and falsehoods. But the problem is that we don't get evidence. And then somebody could say to me, and it would be true, well, what about the incoming interstellar comets and asteroids, which a prediction of hydroplate theory from Dr. Brown is there will never be an incoming interstellar comet or asteroid, meaning coming into the solar system, meaning that they're born in some other place in the solar system and they go whizzing by, because all comets, asteroids, TNOs had their origination from the fountains of the great deep being burst up, and all the debris that went out with the water became comets and asteroids with an elliptical orbit around the sun and not from interstellar.
Well, wait, before you go on, I want everyone to understand the gravity of that prediction, because if you read some of the articles, we're going to talk about this Atlas asteroid. If you read some of the articles, secular science is already asserting that they've proven there are interstellar objects, right? So
right.
Dr. Brown said there will be zero, none, ever. You can't make a more bold prediction than zero, none, ever. That is the boldest predictions a scientific researcher can make. And Dr. Brown made that boldly.
Yep.
That's going to be a tough one. And you're admitting right here on the air, I want to get you on tape.
Yep.
You're admitting that if the evidence comes in that proves that's wrong, you're willing to reconsider the whole thing.
Well, no, I would say not the whole thing.
Oh, wait a minute.
Not, I mean, yes and no. I mean, it would be all the, see, it doesn't erase. The fact that there's three interstellars right now doesn't erase all the evidence for what we see in our solar system. But I don't have to even consider it because there's no proof that the three supposedly interstellar objects came from outside of the solar system. And this is what's so critical. Because the solar system, we know there's orbiting bodies in our solar system that are 83 astronomical units away from the sun. The Sedna is an extreme TNO. It is orbiting the sun in our solar system, 83 AU, astronomical units away from the Earth.
Way out there.
Way out there. When they saw 3I Atlas, it was 6 AU away. So we discover this, and when they saw it, its trajectory is to just go whiz by the sun. It's not in an elliptical orbit, but it could have been, and any orbital physics engineer that's honest would admit this. If it was in an elliptical orbit, and while it's been out there, way out there, It was probably a long period comet way out there, maybe coming in for the first time. And it went by another object in the Kuiper Belt, which there's tens of thousands of Kuiper Belt objects, trans-Neptunian objects. And if it had a collision or it got a gravity boost by something that it went by, it would explain the orbit. And what they're finding on 3I Atlas is a bunch of water, which freaks me out. Other worlds, millions of years in the early birth of the solar system, they had water too. So other solar, other stars in the Milky Way galaxy, they have the ability to have life plants because this thing comes from Earth, has water, has minerals common to Earth, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's not even an interstellar. It's being advertised that because if you're going to have an Oort cloud as the origin of comets and asteroids, there would be a huge percentage of comets that would be hyperbolic. They would be incoming hyperbolic, meaning they were outside of the solar system. And so because they get none, if they get one that got a gravity boost that looks like one, they're not going to tell everybody, well, we're not saying we saw it come into the solar system, but we're going to say it's interstellar.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, I want to apologize for the setup there because I kind of set you up with the question, but I just wanted to establish for the audience that no scientific theory fails based on one piece of seemingly contradictory or even patently contradictory evidence. That doesn't mean the whole theory fails. That means that it's quite possible that an assumption you've made is in error and needs correction.
Yep. So, and your prediction's in error. Because because as Christians, we can't say that God couldn't have created a body that was going to fly by and say, hi, Earth, as it goes by. But you would think that if all the evidence of all comets and asteroids and trans-Neptunian objects can all be explained, all the evidence can be explained by being jettisoned from the Earth. And the Bible says that the fountains of the great deep burst up on one day and the windows of heaven were open and it rained 40 days, 40 nights, etc. The windows of heaven being open to me is that stuff is going to be jettisoned into space, and there's going to be some of it coming back from space to bury mammoths and stuff. God opened the window so you wouldn't break the glass. It's the way I look at it. And so all the evidence supports that, all of it. And so if God also created something that's going to whiz by and say, hi, okay, the prediction, I didn't take the prediction that God could have created something that did that. But the evidence now is now it's behind the sun, so we can't do any more analysis until it comes out from behind the sun. The analysis is totally consistent with the hydroplate theory premise, that too, 3I Atlas was jettisoned from the Earth.
Now, if you take the hydroplate theory, all the evidence that we have, if secular scientists would do this, then they would realize, hey, there's a probably a gravitational explanation of why this thing is in the orbit that it is. So,
yeah, they don't want to do that, though, because they just salivate of finding an interstellar comet and doing all the stuff about life on other, you know, other star systems, et cetera.
Let's get to that here in a second. So I want to talk about, find out from you, Kevin, do you think there's aliens on that comet? 3A Atlas or 3I Atlas. But before we do that, I did want to quickly, Doug, I got to hit you up on limestone. And I'm going to do that with the interesting fact of the week.
Oh, no.
What theory best explains limestone?
Is that the interesting fact of the week question?
You know, that could be. Then you can get a nice...
I was going to say.
Okay, so here's the interesting fact of the week.
Okay.
Sedimentary rocks like limestone and chalk are largely composed of which element?
Limestone and what was the other one?
Chalk.
Okay, as if that would help. I thought chalk was made of chalk. Eh. I'm going to say silica.
To be fair, Doug and I have talked about it. I'm the one who gets to ask the questions, but I'm not that great at geology. Kevin, do you know the answer to this one?
It's calcium carbonate is what lime.
How could I? Oh, that's embarrassing. See, now I know how to be embarrassed in public. All right. You have to be gracious about it.
I really want to get back to aliens.
I do too, but and just to, again, quickly, if you want to learn more about limestone, which theory has the best explanation, I highly encourage Brian Nichol has some great YouTube videos on the hydroplate theory and one bit on limestone that's really interesting. So
okay, now before we go on, is there any silica at all? I'm going to look that up because I just want to make myself feel better. If there's some silica, I won't feel too badly.
Yeah.
All right, now.
Okay, so
wait. 3I Atlas, but I want to get to, and I apologize, Kevin, because we were talking about this before we went on the air. We were talking about the DART mission and what happened with the DART mission, and there's something coming up that's related to the DART mission that's happening right now that I didn't know about. Can you tell our audience what's happening?
For those that don't know, the DART mission was a dual asteroid redirection test where we sent a space probe to go and smack into the moon called Dimorphos, a moon that was orbiting another asteroid, the mother asteroid that was bigger, called Didymos. And so we were going to smack into it to see if we could alter the orbit as a means of, in the future, if we see an asteroid with Earth's name on it, that we can go bang into it, alter its orbit so that it won't hit Earth. That was the whole multi-million, tens of millions of dollars mission. They thought they were going to be hitting a solid rock. That was the mission started with hitting a solid asteroid. We knew as hydroplate theory advocates that they would be hitting a rock pile because that's where asteroids and comets came from, is a debris field that was jettisoned into Earth and came together and coalesced. And so when the cameras on the space probe, as it was getting close to hitting into the moon, Dimorphos, it went past Didymos, which is a floating rock pile. And then it hits Dimorphos, the moon, and just sank in and busted it up like a cue ball hitting a racked, ball on a pool table. And they did not expect that. They promised us on Earth that there would be no effects of this because all they're doing is hitting this thing way out there. But it launched 28, I think it's 28, I could be wrong on that, but close to 28 big enough boulders that the Hubble telescope was able to pick up, and even Earth base could see that it busted it up and sent these things. And they had to do a calculation to find out, it looks like none of them are going to hit Earth, because if they hit Earth, it would be like a nuclear bomb going off, and they promised us that wouldn't happen. But they've done the analysis, and they do think it's going to hit Mars. So what Elon Musk should do is maybe delay wanting to put people there. Into it.
I was just going to say, Elon Musk is going to be real disappointed about that DART mission.
Yeah. So, and see, here's the thing, too, is they only could guess at the mass of Dimorphos because they didn't have a way of, you have to orbit a body to see what the mass is. You have to know the mass of one of the bodies. So they had planned, okay, we're going to go smack it, and then the Europeans are going to put up a space probe that's going to go and see what the effects are. We're going to wait for all the dust to settle, and then we're going to go see what the effects are and find out what the real mass of Dimorphos was. Well, the real mass of Dimorphos was much less than what they planned on, because they considered that the mission would be successful if it altered the moon's orbital period around Didymus, the mother asteroid. If it altered it by, I think it was a little over a minute, mm-hmm. not even a minute, seconds, that it would be successful. It was 32 minutes. It altered it 32 minutes. Well, the only way you can alter it that much is if the mass of the moon, Dimorphos, was much less than what you thought. Because right. You know the speed of the craft, you know the mass of the craft, and you're estimating how much you're going to energy you're going to impart onto that object. It's a physics equation. So the mass was much less. It was, which they found on all the other things that they've done, is the mass is so much less than what they thought it was, and there was empty space inside when they did the Temple 1 impact mission. So. And this is what I'm saying, is that the Europeans are going to go out there with the cameras and other instruments and measuring the mass of the moon. Well, the moon lost a bunch of mass. It ejected it into escape velocity, and now they're all in orbits around the sun, going to smack Mars. So it lost a lot of mass. But I think it's not all back together yet, because it busted up the racked balls. And now they're going to be in their very complicated orbits of physics, because you have no atmosphere. The reason why the mass that was ejected from the Earth, all these boulders and dust and water and everything, was able to come together into an asteroid is because it had an Earth's atmosphere that was entrained to go up, and water. Mm-hmm. And then the solar wind blew the atmospheres of water molecules and stuff off of these asteroids. And now that's why they can't explain how they came about. The secular astronomers cannot explain how a bunch of rocks and dust can come together in the vacuum of space. And if they just were to consider that it at one time had an atmosphere of water, it would make perfect sense to them. But they can't have an explanation for that. Only hydroplate theory advocates can have an explanation for that. And so without an atmosphere, that debris pile is going to have a hard time slowing down to come back together. It's going to be collisions and stuff that do it. And so it's going to be interesting. My prediction will be that they're going to be amazed that they're going to, if they have the instruments on board to do it, and I haven't researched exactly what instruments, but they're going to find everything. Spectrometry would be granite, mantle, material, etc., that can be explained by having come from the Earth, and it won't be all back together. They'll be shocked at how much of a rock pile that thing was. That's my guess.
And so the European Space Agency has a scheduled visit to Dimorphos coming up soon.
Yeah, and I think it's next year. And Fred, if you have time to just say, when does the European Space Agency going to visit Dimorphos? Well, we'll get an exact date on that.
Okay. Yes. And so you're making another prediction, another hydroplate theory prediction, which now, despite the fact that Dr. Baumgartner classifies them as worthless and meaningless, we know that the hard currency of real science is predictions. If you have a theory and you are willing to make a prediction, if your prediction is proven true, that lends some credible evidence to your theory. It might not prove the theory, might not prove every element of the theory, but it does provide some credible evidence that's meaningful and worthwhile. So you're predicting that they're going to find that the rock pile has been kind of exploded apart, and there's still some things that, and it's going to take gravity a long time to pull that stuff back together, and we're going to be able to see better what was actually inside the the more dense rock pile that was struck.
Yep. And that all the evidence, if they do spectrometry and stuff like that, all the evidence could be supported by the fact this stuff came from Earth.
Yep.
Okay, and so you mentioned specifically that there could be granite boulders that could be observed.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, because that's like a big deal in this article about that. Yep. Oh, where's the granite? Yep. Where's the granite?
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go. So the Hera mission is scheduled to visit Dimorphos in late 2026, so about a year from now.
Okay.
So, Kevin, we'll have you on probably before then, but maybe next year we'll revisit this prediction. So I did want to get back to...
Can I just a second on this prediction? Sure. I would not, you know, again, I am a hydroplate theory advocate. I do have orbital physics in my background. I am not all-knowing, and I wouldn't have even done this if Dr. Walt Brown was still alive, because I would have asked him first, He's the genius in the room, and he might have said, Kevin, you get some stuff right, but you're wrong on that, because he would have had maybe a different view. I don't think so. I think he would have agreed, but I don't know. I'm just saying, I think that's what they're going to find. I don't want a hit piece. This is now proven. Hydroplate theory is proven to be false because Kevin made a prediction and it didn't come true.
Yeah. Well, and so, by the way, Kevin, I appreciate the fact that you are humble enough to be just willing to separate your prediction from Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. Now that Walt Brown has gone on to his reward and God is busy correcting Walt's papers right now, and Walt's glad, right, to get any corrections. So we don't want to necessarily associate your prediction with Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. This is Kevin Lee's prediction. So we just, since this is time stamped and you've had the temerity to make this prediction almost a year in advance, we just want to make sure all the facts are out there on the table. And I look forward to finding out what we see. That would be really interesting.
It will be.
Now, Free Eye Atlas. Aliens, yes.
That was popularized by a Harvard astronomer named Avi Loeb, L-O-E-B.
Oh, yeah.
And I wrote a response to this that I never did publish it. Every single item in his write-up makes these bold assertions that are ridiculous, like incoming hyperbolic. The evidence will show, he says, it's incoming hyperbolic. It's from some other galaxy far, far away, or Milky Way galaxy. No honest scientist, and this is what I said, I've already said it here, no honest scientist should say that they are certain Atlas, 3I Atlas, is interstellar, since they didn't even see it until it was between the orbit of Jupiter and Saturn.
Hello.
How can you know that it didn't get a gravity boost? Any honest scientist would agree with that. The probability of an interstellar object flying so extraordinarily close to Mars, Jupiter, Earth, Venus is virtually zero. Not true if the hydroplate theory explanation for it being an asteroid that was in an elliptical orbit in the ecliptic plane, you know, is going to be coming back into the solar system. It got a gravity boost to show that it's just flying by. And this guy is saying that this is so obviously some, you know, the Klingons coming to shoot the Earth because we're so full of war and everything else. And so it's coming in, flying by, saying, here I'm coming. And then behind the sun, this is what he says. When it's behind the sun, it's going to light off its retro rockets and slow down. And instead of flying by the solar system, it's going to come winging around the sun right at us. We need to right now be ready for that sucker to come and shoot us when it comes back to the Earth. Wow. And that's what this guy is saying.
That's Avi Loeb, right?
Yeah, that's Avi Loeb, yep.
He's obviously, I mean, he could have a novel in his future. Talk about a spinner of fables. That's really good stuff. I'm on the edge of my seat. And by the way, just in case he's right, okay, because you never know, we would never want to say we know everything. In case Avi Loeb is right and we're about to all be slaughtered by aliens, everybody needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and ask God to forgive you for your sins so you don't suffer in hell forever. By the way, whether Avi Loeb is right or wrong or clinically insane, all of us are going to die, and you don't want to die in your sins. I just want to get that.
That's a very important point that I want to ditto as a pastor. These are all arguments that, you know, you can believe that asteroids came from the Earth and still go to hell because you haven't gotten your sins taken care of. And so, but what the whole purpose of us doing this, and the way I've spent so many man months, if not years, on this, is because a lot of people blow off the Bible as just being the writings of man and all this other stuff. But the Bible is written by God clearly, because the fountains of the great deep burst up and the water was jettisoned and it rained 40 days. All the evidence supports that. The Bible was true when people have been thinking it's crazy. But the evidence is there. And if the evidence of the flood is true, maybe the evidence in the teachings of Jesus is also inspired word of God. And Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. Mm-hmm. And that should really affect every audience member here, for whatever reason you're listening to this.
Amen.
Yeah. You're a sinner separated from the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who sent his apostles and his prophets to tell us the history of man and God. And the problem is, God loves man and wants man to come to him by faith. And the history of man is, we're deceived, we're fallen, we're rebellious, we hate people telling us what to do, especially God. And if we don't get the cure, which is to repent of that and recognize we should worship our creator, We should say yes to him, especially when he's a good creator and his laws are good, that we have to listen to him and believe and trust in him and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against man, which is sinning against you. And I want to stop. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And then you can have everlasting life. And that is a long time.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
So, you know, and Brian, before we close, you know, Brian Lauer has, I believe, a really good point, too, that, you know, why we talk about this, why we find the hydroplate theory is important. And, you know, there's a lot of other evidences out there in dealing with, you know, trying to reach the lost. But when we're promoting something, the hydroplate theory actually helps explain or counter arguments against, like, the Big Bang and the secular astronomy and all the ideas that they have. It's a counter to that. But we've got some creationists that are fighting this very solid argument that we can use against the world. And they're relying, when they rely on CPT, something, in order to use that theory, you have to embrace a secular humanist idea about plate tectonics. We're not having to do that. And so that's part of Real Science Radio. We know we're not right on everything. We know that our papers are going to be graded. We're going to miss some things, obviously, on a lot of things, but we're here to try to promote the truth of what we see with the evidence and the science. And if we're proven wrong, great. This paper was far from that, yet even despite the fact that it claimed to do this, we want to get the truth out there, and we want to be able to reach our fellow unbelieving brothers. I know we all have friends who are not believers, and this kind of stuff, if we get right, we just focus on the truth and start with the Bible, always with the Bible. It's the best way to go. And Kevin, the work you're doing is incredible. I really appreciate your knowledge on the hydroplate theory. Is just this, you know, you're doing a great service getting the truth out. And I really appreciate you and, you know, Brian Nickel and all the others that are just really digging in on this stuff and helping us on the show also. And I would like to, one last thing before we started, when we were talking about the show before we started today, you mentioned about how you would tell Walt, this proves the hydroplate theory. Well, what was Walt's attitude with that? I loved what you had said about Dr. Walt.
Yeah, he would remind me, Kevin, proof is like, shouldn't be used in the scientific world. I could be wrong. He would say, I could be wrong. Time will tell. And the reason I would say, well, the time's over. I mean, how many times does the apple have to fall from the tree and be measured at 32 feet per second? How many times do you have to do that before you say gravity has the acceleration in our terms, 32 feet per second squared? I mean, how many times do you have to do that? And Isaac Newton could have said, well, I could be wrong. You know, maybe next year it'll be 31 feet per second squared. We don't know. So, yeah, and he would say that all the time. He wasn't like Dr. Bumgartner accuses him of being a fraud and just holding up this thing, and he's trying to make himself somebody special. I knew the man, and I knew he was humble. I knew he was given great wisdom in coming up with the flood of Noah. I think it's overwhelming evidence to me that he was right. Yep. And call me biased, because I am. I'm biased to evidence. Mm. If the evidence supports it, then maybe the premise is true.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And well, it's Dr. Rob Brown. I've met him. He's a very, you know, he's a guy of high character and integrity. He's got secular peer-reviewed articles that support the hydroplate theory on TNO objects coming from our solar system. So we do have peer-reviewed articles that actually support the hydroplate theory. And again, he's also humble. He's like, hey, you know, there's certain things that we're wrong on, but look at this. You know, he has really powerful evidence that shows that where the TNOs came from.
And let me say one thing about this peer review. You just brought up something I wanted to say earlier. And by the way, Rob Brown wasn't just peer-reviewed. He was peer-reviewed by the Royal Astronomical Society, which is, I mean, it's just barely more prestigious than Creation Research Society Quarterly. And just to be clear, that's in total jest. Extremely, extremely prestigious. They would never have allowed this article that was put up by Creation Research Society Quarterly to go out as a peer-reviewed article, which is what Tim Clary said, because we said, we, the board, through Jim McDowell, said, would you allow us to print in your next quarter the rebuttal to this article? And he goes, yes, as long as it's peer-reviewed by the same process that this article was peer-reviewed. So who's going to be the peer reviewer? Isaacs, or the A in Isaacs, you know, that that is going to peer review? And what the, how do you need a peer review when you simply say your premise is completely fraudulent? It is not true that Dr. Brown's hydroplate theory says that the mantle is made out of basalt. Doesn't say that.
Yeah,
and that your whole hip piece is based on that.
Yeah.
You don't need to peer review that. You just need to apologize for publishing a extremely deficient, technically professionally, article.
Yeah, and just it's the whole core of the article. It builds its conclusion by assuming the things that it wants to prove, and so it's a circular argument, and it's not experimental science.
Yes, and before we close, I just want to let Edward A. Isaacs know, I personally, I'll just speak for myself, I've judged the work as fraudulent, deficient, embarrassing, and there's an open invitation for Edward Isaacs to come on this show at any time. I'm not a scientist. I barely graduated high school. If you want to come on and embarrass me in front of the world, there's an open invitation anytime. You're welcome to Real Science Radio. Everyone who comes on the show, by the way, I have the opportunity to investigate their understanding of the gospel. I haven't done that with Edward Isaacs yet. I'd like to do that and have him do the same for me, because that's what it's really all about as Christian brothers, is to help each other understand and know God better and more, and to walk by faith, not by sight. Anyway, so you're invited on, Edward, anytime, open invitation. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Kevin. Just fascinating, eye-opening, disturbing, really interesting stuff.
And can I encourage you and Fred to invite Tim Clary, the editor, the one who approved this article and saw that it got peer-reviewed before it got published by Creation Resources. Invite him as well. We do know about him. He's currently the director of research at Institute for Creation Research.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, we
know him.
So we definitely will do that. We'll extend that invitation.
Okay.
All right. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, guys. Kevin, again, appreciate all the efforts you're doing. So for Pastor Kevin Lee and my co-host Doug McBurney, I'm Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.